preaching and teaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers and turn their ear away from the truth. This is the great problem the New Testament is exposing, and it's really showing us why we need good leadership. It's helping us understand why we need pastors, elders, and deacons. The Lord has given to His church leadership, and that is one of His great gifts to protect the flock from all error and to guard us in righteousness. This is such an important subject in the New Testament. Today we're looking at Acts chapter 20 and Paul's address to the Ephesian elders, calling them to guard the flock of Jesus. Such an important passage that we will consider today on Abounding Grace Radio. Thanks for tuning into the program. Please visit us at agradio.org, agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805, 888-504-8805. We are also on Facebook. Find us on Twitter at agradio1. On Facebook, it's Abounding Grace Radio. That website is agradio.org. There's many articles and resources there for you. All of these programs are free there for download. Do please visit that website. And if you can support Abounding Grace, 100% of your support goes to continue to take the gospel to Africa. What a remarkable opportunity that we have. Out of Zambia, we air omnidirectional, is the transmitter that covers the continent. What a blessing to be able to air throughout Africa, the U.S., and in Canada. So your help is very much, we're grateful for. You can do that right online at aagradio.org. This is now part two of a message that we aired yesterday, the most underrated speech in church history. You can find that right online at agradio.org. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. You need to look at the examples of godly leaders that are in front of you and imitate them. Look at those whom God has put in your life. Look at those whom the Spirit has worked in and study them and imitate what they're doing. And Paul is motivating the Ephesian elders to look at him and carry forward the baton as it's being handed off in the ministry, that they would do the same as he did. So here we are. Paul says a bunch of things here about himself that are very important, doesn't he? It's his testimony. It's a beautiful testimony. Look what he says there. You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, that I lived a certain way with all humility. I wasn't out coveting silver and gold. I wasn't out trying to get rich, he's saying. That was not why I went in the ministry. I don't account my life of any value. Listen to the statement. Nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. You know, in Ephesians, in Philippians 3, he says that I have counted everything as loss for Christ. You ever thought what he lost? I'll tell you what he lost for the truth. Status, in our day, book writing contracts, notoriety, all of the great theologians of the day rejected him and trashed him everywhere. He had no popularity. It was all gone. He probably lost the family inheritance. It was all gone. There was nothing left that this man had for the gospel, and he gave it all away for the gospel. I counted all as loss, all that, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ and to give that truth. Everything. This is such a challenge for us today because we're all trying to go into this, especially leadership and those who are pastors. We all face a temptation. We want a name for ourselves. We want to be writers. We want to be known. Paul counted it all loss. It was never about him. It was never about his name. And we're awestruck in the Reformed world with our stars.
We treat them like gods. Notice what he says. You know I would have died for all this. You know I believe this so much, I'd die for it. My life modeled that, that I would lose my life for the sake of the gospel. When in Philippians, at the beginning, he gave his entire perspective on life and in death. He made an amazing statement. You know, it really would be far better to be with the Lord. There's a test, right? If I had a choice, I'd go now. But you know what? Necessity is laid upon me to remain here in the body because it's more necessary for you. Now, I think we all should emulate that. I'm here for you. I'm not here for me. And then you realize, I fail. We all fail. I haven't been good at this. But it's what I'm striving for, and it's what we should strive for. This is how the church is built. This is how the gospel goes forward. This is how we're called to love. I'm willing to go through all the suffering and pain, not knowing right now what's held out for me. The only thing the Holy Spirit has told me is that wherever I go, chains await me. Persecution, suffering awaits me. How'd you like that calling? That's a pastor's heart. It really is. When we fail, this is what we're striving for as leaders. This is what we're striving for as leaders in Christ's church. So here, we're looking at this, and then we're thinking, you know, in light of our day and the challenges of ministry and all the scandals we've seen for material home, that we have to fight. We have to fight that the ministry is not about what this life is not about getting a good home, getting a good retirement, having a comfortable life, because when we're pursuing that as leaders, then we're going to be less willing to contend for the truth. That's the issue. When you speak the truth, you put yourself at risk. It's hard. I would never say anyone should speak the truth as a jerk. But when you speak the truth, you're putting yourself at risk in love. So this is what we're looking at here, and that's exactly what he says. Listen, I did not shrink the whole time. I did not shrink back from declaring to you anything that was profitable. I gave the law and the gospel is what he's saying. And teaching you in public and from house to house, I testify to this day, I am innocent. This is Ezekiel. He's done his job. I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. If it was in the book, I said it. If it was inspired by God throughout the scriptures, I said it. If it was given to me by the Holy Spirit in the spoken word out of the apostolic mouth, I said it. It's one of my favorite verses for the ministry, really. It's the Lord saying when Samuel began his prophetic ministry that the Lord let none of his words fall to the ground. That word in Jeremiah's heart was like a burning fire he had to speak. This is the heart of the servant to say what the truth is with a good conscience. When you speak the truth, you put yourself at risk. If you want to ask and say, well, we shouldn't be so black and white, tell John the Baptist that. Hey, you can't have your brother's wife cost head on a platter. But he gained everything. You understand why it's important? It's because it's easy every week to come together in the body of Christ and give you just what itching ears want to hear. That's what we would love to do, make everyone feel good and happy. I've often thought when Jesus was preaching in John 6, he had so offended the whole crowd, he turns around and he says to his disciples, did I offend you? Are you offended? Why would he say that? Because his words were so penetrating to the heart. They were dividing, as the word does, joints and marrow. They were pulling people. They would not let neutrality be. Jesus had a greater goal. It has led to the problem in Christian ministry today that so many don't give any warnings anymore. We've even in some ways counted warnings as legalistic. Everyone will love you if your ministry is about petting the sheep. But if you're willing to fight for the truth and contend for the truth in love, you put yourself at risk. Every martyr who has ever been martyred for the faith did it because they spoke the truth, went through it because they spoke the truth. Jesus died on the cross the whole way saying, "Are you mad at me? Do you want to kill me? Because I spoke the truth." See, Paul says, thirdly, that it wasn't just speaking the truth for truth's sake, it was speaking the truth with a goal. You see it? Why are we doing it? Because we are testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm keeping the goal of what we're doing. We're leading people to repentance. We're leading people to turn away from themselves and be saved, to come to Jesus and be saved. That's the goal of all of this. This was the goal of preaching. This was the goal of the ministry. This was the goal of what they were doing. And Paul knew that if there was never any speaking of the truth in this way, you'd make a lot of people comfortable on their way to hell. You'd make a lot of people comfortable on their way to hell. Now, this is the overview of the testimony. This is important. It's the aspiration that we should have in going into the ministry, the motivations, and what we want to be, what we want to strive to be. But I want you to notice here now that the question of why he's rehearsing this now, he's laying before them the great concern. What is the great concern? Look what he says in verse 9. "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away disciples after them." That is the alert. That is the trumpet. What is Satan actively and always working to do is send in wolves. They work hard from the outside, and then they worm their way in and work from the inside. When Jesus was dealing with wolves, and when Jesus, that passage in John chapter 9 and 10, where one of his sheep was just beat to a pulp by the Pharisees, who were the wolves, it was really interesting what Jesus did right after that. He said something that I think is so helpful in this context. He said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Listen to this. "The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy." Destroy what? You. To steal you, to kill you, and to destroy you. He was such a shepherd. He is such a shepherd. He's the head of the church. And he says, I'm the good shepherd that laid down my life for the sheep. There's one goal in all attacks that go on today. And everything that if you have to filter through all the stuff happening in society, if you have to filter through all the challenges in the church, there is one thing that is constantly happening and one thing that you have to be aware with your three sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and the flesh. There's one thing that is desperately trying to happen in your life that the devil is trying to do. You know what it is? Pull you away from Jesus. That is always going on. He's working to do it. Pull you out of the church, to pull you into a sinful lifestyle, to pull you away from the truth, to wreck your life, and to destroy you. Understand that? Understand that's always happening? Well, Paul is rehearsing this great concern. They are actively, there's always an active undermining and working to pull you away. And the gospel is all about reconciling you to God. The gospel is all about bringing you to faith and helping you through this life and giving you salvation. And wolves hate it. Wolves want nothing to do with it. Wolves don't believe it. Here's the greatest challenges. They come in from among us. You know, that's happening. It most certainly, if it happened in Ephesus, it can happen right here. People who don't believe this and people who are undermining it. So what is the charge? What is he saying in this last point here? Notice verse 28. This is a crucial text here where he says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. There's the calling. You know, look at my example. This is what I understood was the great calling when I went into the ministry, that we are entrusted a great responsibility. It's the care of the church. And he's working from the two twin responsibilities that he would tell Timothy for any pastor, any elder, any shepherd, any servant in the kingdom. The two twin responsibilities were watch your doctrine and watch your life. That's what he's working from. Remember 1 Timothy 4, guard yourselves. What? Train yourselves for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of every value in every way, as holds the promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of all acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive because we have our hope set on the living God who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Guard the flock, he says. How do you guard the flock? What's the second way? There's two ways here. Guard your lives and do what? He says it. Until I come, this is 1 Timothy 4 again, devote yourselves to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. This is the weapon. Don't neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy, when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them so that they may see your progress. So in other words, as you are growing in the word, as you are giving yourself to know the scriptures, to understand the scriptures, to grow in the scriptures, it's gonna have an effect on the congregation. I wonder if this is one of our great challenges here. You talk with people, as I've talked with some who go to Africa, and they look at the word of God being distributed in Africa right now, you should see the hunger. These people are starving for it. They want it. And you should look at their elders. They're in it. They're proclaiming it. They're reading it. It's all they want to talk about. It's all they have. That's the other problem. For us, we have everything to distract us from it. You have to love the scriptures. You have to know the scriptures. This whole book of Acts has been pushing us to digest the word, to hunger for the word, to know the word, to eat the word, to digest it and dispense it. I've shared with you before. I'll do it again. That growing up, you know, it was my own hard heart against the word. But I have to say that much of the gatherings in church just seemed to be doing it for all the reasons that were wrong. They were just there. When I went up to college, I saw this church that had come out going through Romans. They're going up and they hit chapter 9 and they said, "What is this? What is this?" And as I was up there in college, I sat in the midst of a little revival or gathered around the word every week. People were hungry. People were growing. There was talk after church about the scriptures. There was a fellowship that was created because of that, a bond of love that was beautiful. And I would say, that when that bond and that hunger is not there, it creates a staleness in the life of a church and a difficulty to get into it. We've got to have the scriptures and our leadership so hungry for it, we're dispensing it. This is what Paul is saying here, where he's saying this is how you fight the wolves. This is how you fight. This is how you keep the church. This is how the church is preserved. It's through a love of the scriptures and a knowledge of the scriptures and a teaching of the scriptures. So this is the great care for the flock. Watch your lives, guard yourselves, and guard your doctrine. Know the truth, love the truth. But the greatest motivation here is what? This is what I love about it. The greatest motivation is that Jesus died for his church. You see it? His blood purchased real people. They're already purchased. They've already been bought. And you are caring for his sheep. You are caring for those who he has loved and died for. Speaking to the elders. It is the nature, listen to me, it is the nature of a shepherd to fight wolves. Do you understand that? Can you imagine a shepherd who sees the wolf coming and says, it's okay, it's okay, as he rips up the flock? John Stott, again, says this emphasis is so unpopular today. We are frequently told to be positive in our teaching and never negative. But those who say this, here it comes down to, have not read the New Testament. There's the issue. And having read it, or having read it, disagree with it. If when false teaching arises, Christian leaders sit idle by and do nothing or turn the tail and flee, they will earn the terrible epithet of hirelings who care nothing for Christ's flock. Then too it will be said of believers, as it was said of Israel, that they were scattered because there was no shepherd and they became food for all the wild animals. Amen. You know, this is what the Lord is saying here. I love my church. You see the gospel here? I love my church. And I care so much about my church, I'm fighting for them. Don't you think you should? You know, the moving scene here is at the end. They all gather around Paul. They're looking at the servant, and they just break out into weeping and crying, hugging. You can just imagine this affectionate moment. Paul says, I'm not seeing you again in this life. This is it. You know, you just lost a pastor. You're not seeing him again in this life. Christian tradition has it that Paul was beheaded in Rome in the mid-60s. He did lose his life, if that's correct, for the gospel, and I have no doubt to believe he did. What a baton he handed. What a baton that has been given to us. I pray that in this place, by God's grace and his help, because who's sufficient for this in and of ourselves? We know that. This is why prayer is so important. That we as leaders, that me as a pastor, pray for us, that we would care for the flock with right and proper zeal. Christ has promised to rule his people through under shepherds, through leaders. May we remember that what this is all about. It is about the salvation of people. It is about the deliverance of people out of the clutches of hell and darkness. Wherever the truth is, I close with this statement. Wherever the truth is loved, wherever the truth is valued, wherever the gospel is defended, right there, in that place, no matter what everyone else says around, there the Holy Spirit is saving a great many people.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.